Okay, so with that, I'm going to put this mic back down and introduce our panel. We have Nancy and Bev and Lori and Jan and Lainey and Freya. So please welcome our panel. Great. Nancy, do you want to go ahead and start?
I'm Nancy Kay from Boulder. I'm a compulsive eater, recovering compulsive eater and sugar addict. Really happy to be here. This has been a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Denver. It's been awesome. So, higher power. My concept of higher power has absolutely changed over the years. I think it's one of those things that will be constantly changing. Today, my higher power is positive guiding force of the universe, goodness of the people in the rooms, and the program itself, and nature. I got to hike yesterday, thanks to our member down at the other end who organized. It was awesome. And getting outside and just seeing the natural world is a huge part of higher power for me. As far as how I... This isn't really the question, but I'll go into it since my higher power is kind of brief. Spiritually, I work my program through writing. And, of course, writing about the steps. I heard that a lot this weekend, that the steps are the program, and I totally agree. So I write the steps. I do other writing through OA sources and non-OA sources. I have a sponsor. I am a sponsor. Maybe that's it. I definitely feel the presence of my higher power in these rooms and at these weekends and at any meeting I'm at. I do a lot of phone meetings. I work now more than I used to, so I don't go to noon meetings. And, you know, the phone meetings are awesome. I know there was a workshop on that, and if you haven't tried them yet, you know, do six, and you'll find one that you like. And the podcasts are great. I really like those. And since my higher power is often wearing skin, making use of meetings is really important to me. And thanks. I pass.
Hi, my name is Bev. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'll just plug quickly the phone meetings also. I'll plug the phone meetings also because... I listen to a lot of them, and the podcast. They're just a supplement to the face-to-face meetings. There's nothing quite like a face-to-face, you know, but I supplement and learn more about the program through the podcasts and phone meetings. But to try to define my higher power, I find words really limiting. And I heard yesterday in a workshop somebody defined HP as holy presence. And that just really feels good to me. My higher power is a holy presence that is in and through and around me and around everybody else, if I'm open to seeing it. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Beth. I'm Lori, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I had no idea I was going to be doing this, so woohoo! And I'm shy, and yet I love to talk. But if you put a microphone in front of me, then I'm shy again, I guess. Anyway, but it's just a piece of equipment, so. The humor has to come out, so. Anyway, let's see. My higher power is God of the universe, of the Bible, Jesus, all of that Christian, I don't know what to call it, but that's my higher power, and I always get a little nervous saying that because I know that some people are really either offended by that or have been hurt by that. And so that's the last thing in the world I want is to turn somebody away. But I also feel like I need to speak up and say, but this is my higher power and he works for me. He, she, it. I don't think God is what it, has a gender. I went to church, have gone to church almost all of my life, but it wasn't until I came here that I developed a relationship with God. So this is very important to me. And I love the phrase, God with skin on. And God talks to me very frequently through other people, and it's usually people that I would not normally be either wouldn't associate with, or people who offend me, or, you know, like just those people. And those are usually the people that I hear God speak through. So I guess that's my one of my not having judgment or whatever is, you know, God loves all of us. And I just want to say how grateful I am to be here. I feel so blessed. I got to take a couple walks just around the town and the neighborhood, and it is so pretty here. And I am going home with all kinds of really cool stuff that, I mean, some of it I didn't win. Some of, you know, people just gave it to me, mm-hmm. and or whatever. But gifts. I think there's five love languages, and one of them is gifts. And when I was younger, when I first heard that, I felt guilty, unworthy, like, I shouldn't get gifts because I'm not good enough. And that's not true. And I love giving gifts as well. So yeah, I'm not sure what that has to do with OA, but here I am. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
This way.
Ooh, a little one.
Hey, everybody, I'm Jan. I'm a grateful food addict.
Hi, Jan.
I have to remember. Okay, what program am I in now? When I come into a meeting, I always ask my higher power. I always say, God, please be with all of us and bless this meeting. Please help us to hear what you want us to hear, see what you want us to see, get what you want us to get, say what you want us to say, and let go of what you want us to let go. And then when I do that, I trust that if I'm supposed to say or do something, it will come to me. So we're going down the line and nothing is coming. And I thought, you know, I'm okay with passing. But then God starts talking to me and it's like, okay. So the first thing that came to my mind, God, is very simplistically for me is good orderly direction. You know, and that's how it was in the beginning for me. And when I get real crazy, I can go back to that. And this is now just my personal belief. And I really appreciate when people speak their truth. I might not always like it, and I might not always agree with it, but that's my stuff. That's not their stuff. That's my stuff. And I can do something about my stuff. I can't do anything about your stuff. So that's where the steps come in for me. But what I was thinking, this is just my personal belief. I believe that there is one higher power. And the higher power manifests itself differently in all of us because we are different. We come from a different environment. We come from different histories. I could go on and on. So that's just my personal belief. And so that's why for me, a long time ago, I decided I wanted to call God, especially in settings like this, he, she, or it, because I wanted to be inclusive, because I believe the God of my understanding anyway is inclusive. And I, too, love nature. I love to get on my Harley and ride my bike. And there's just something about being with God and trusting that I'm not going to crash the bike and that I'm going to be okay. And I had a really awesome spiritual experience this weekend. And it was in the bathtub. And I keep talking about it. But, you know, that's what happens to me when I have a spiritual experience. You know, I'm scared to death to talk. Which I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I am. I'm scared to talk, and I'm scared to tell my truth because I want you to like me, and I want you to approve of me, and I want to do a good job, and I want you to, yeah. And so I'm in the bathtub thinking, well, I'll pray for this, and I'll pray for that. And finally, I hear my friend say, I don't know how many times I've said this, she was always saying, do it afraid. Do it. Pray, but just do it afraid. It's okay. And I heard her voice. And then I hear God saying, just pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And that made it so much easier for when I'm going to speak or say something to somebody. My three favorite slogans are, keep it simple, easy does it, and one day at a time. Especially, I love it, keep it simple, because I can really get some awesome ideas that aren't of God's, and I go, rrr, and it's like, whoa. I think my higher power likes things simple. I do. And also, I don't usually talk about this, but I will. I am a Catholic. And in the Catholic Church, I don't agree with everything. So just like meetings, I take what's right for me and leave the rest. And I'll say it how I always say it. I don't really think God gives a rat's ass what I'm doing in that church, as long as I believe in Him and trying to be a better person. And even if I wasn't trying to be a better person, I believe God would love me unconditionally. I believe God loves me more than I will ever, ever know, feel, or can imagine. I can talk about it, and it's better than it used to be, and there are parts of me that really believe that, but that's, and so with, and the part I really like is I can talk to Mary, and I like talking to Mary, because when I get mad at God or afraid about God, I can go to Mary. So I appreciate your, and my mom's name was Mary. Is that not cool? And I adored my mother. I'm so jealous of you and your daughter. I really miss my mom so much. She was awesome. She was a step in tradition thumper, and she was just awesome, but she really lived it, and she loved Jesus. And so I would go to her church, and it wasn't my calling. I believe we all have different callings. That wasn't my calling, but I appreciated that that was her calling. So thanks for letting me be here, and thank you for listening. Just thank you so much. I appreciate you so much, and I pass.
Thanks, Jen.
I'm Lainey, compulsive overeater. Oh, my. You know, I grew up in an alcoholic, abusive home. Gosh, could any of you relate to that? I'm guessing not. I am an incest survivor, sexual abuse survivor, and my image and a church rat. And my image of God was that God was loving and kind and generous and all that stuff here. And I was over there. And there was no connection. And before OA, I ran into some folks who work with adult survivors of childhood abuse and trauma, and we did some spiritual healing work. And what I had to do was fire that old God. And I fired him, and I spent some time in limbo, which was not a very comfortable place to be, particularly as I was very involved in church and teaching children all the church stuff and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there in service going, I don't believe that prayer. I don't believe that prayer. That's crap. I can't say that. It was a really nasty 9 months, but I hung in there. I told my spiritual director that I believed at some point the old words would have new meanings that worked for me, and that has happened. But what I've managed to do in OA, and as a result of OA, is let my God grow up. I meet my God in church. But I have a friend who has a poster in her house that says something like, God created so many different kinds of people. Why would we think God would only create one way to get there or to be in communion with Him? And so, and I believe that. And so while I use the Christian language, because you need language and language is challenging around God, I have come to realize how many more ways God manifests God's self that I simply didn't see because it came in a package that looked different than the one that is sitting on my doorstep. I see God in nature. I see God in people. I see God in my abstinence. I was given, this is woo-woo for me, but it's true. I was given a vision of God, which I thought, you know, in my humble little self, that I would draw. A, I don't draw. and B, it just didn't work. I tried really hard. I tried to draw it. I tried to paint it. It doesn't work. But if there's words, so I'll tell you the words. And this isn't all of God, because God's too big to put in a picture. But the picture I got of God was of a very pregnant red, for some reason. I have no idea what the red means, but there's sort of a watercolor washed redness. very pregnant being with the world and me inside. And so God is imminent and present, and I am somehow imminent and present, and it's all, you know, that the, there's no separation piece. I see God most clearly when I'm abstinent. Another way I hear God is if I hear the same thing from two or three different sources, I'm learning to realize that means listen up, because the next step is the holy 2x4. Did you hear me now? You know, I got pneumonia last November because I was extremely overstretched. And I knew that. And all my good friends were saying, Lainey, you need to chill. You need to not do this. You need to get this off your body. Oh, I can handle it. Boom, pneumonia. Huh, 2 weeks in bed. And you know what? You're really not going to believe this. The world continued to turn. So I am so grateful for OA because it has allowed my God to grow up. The other thing I want to tell you about my God is my God has a delightfully wicked sense of humor. He and Mike converse every night.
Hi, my name's Freya. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive eater and bulimic.
Hi, Freya.
Oh, I'm just thrilled to be here and be one of you guys, to be a part of. And I was raised with a wonderful, beautiful vision or idea of what God was, you know, loving and caring and accepting no matter, you know, what your faith is or how you practice it. As long as you are doing your best, you know, doing the best you can with what you have. But I was not, for whatever reason, I was not able to really internalize that. And I shared with a small group yesterday that I used to think that that voice in my head telling me that I was, you know, the voice of guilt and shame and like, oh, you're not doing this and, you know, not doing that and you're not good enough and, you know, you're not worthy. I used to think that was God. And so that was not a very healthy relationship. And thankfully, when I got into program, I was able to recognize, you know, just by listening to you guys and continuing to work my own program, I learned that, oh, that is the voice of my disease. And it is such a wonderful freedom to have that distinction. And I don't have to immediately buy into everything that voice tells me or anything that voice tells me. And then to be able to treat it as a character defect that I can ask, that I am powerless over and that I can ask God to remove, and then seek direction in how would I behave if God removed this. That is just amazing to have that tool instead of just being, you know, totally at the mercy of that voice, which is just incessant and merciless. So yesterday in one of the workshops, we practiced writing a letter to our higher power and having our higher power write back. And I had actually done that earlier that morning. So I did it twice, you know, just in a couple hours. And I wanted to share, I feel like this is just a wonderful illustration of how my higher power speaks to me today. This is the one I wrote earlier in the morning. So I said, what would God say to me? My child, thank you for inviting me into your life. I am your source, your protector. I am here for you always. I am holding you, cherishing you. I made you to be exactly the way you are, and you are precious to me. My will for you is to experience my presence in your interactions with others. Don't worry, I will give you the courage, strength, direction, and opportunity. You don't have to do it alone. Neither do you need to fear others. Use your tools. Together, we can get through the fears and negative thought patterns. Take courage. You are on a solid path. You may stumble, you may fall, but you will not fail. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Freya.
Okay.
Thank you all. So now it's time for our Ask It Basket, and we've done enough with paper today, this weekend, so we're going to do the Ask It Basket kind of like we did with Jan. So actually, if you want to come up and maybe do a little bit of a line over here, this is for anybody on the panel. You can address it to the panel as a whole or to somebody in particular, and we'll just make sure that everybody gets their questions answered or addressed or anything like that. So please feel free to get up and stretch your legs and come if you've got a question. We'll get you going. Awesome, Tiffany. Go for it.
Hi, I'm Tiffany, compulsive overeater. I think this might have been the first weekend I've heard the term God with skin on. And at work, in a corporate setting, we use a lot of the time the term get some skin in the game, which I think means something different. but I wanted a better, I mean, I'm an engineer, so part of me is thinking, why do I want the definition? But really, it's just a clarity thing, because I like sayings. I grew up with a Southern dad, so I have a ton of old Southern sayings, and OA is a lot about the repeating those messages, and I just want to better understand what that means. Is it the same as getting skin in the game, meaning like getting invested, or is it the embodiment of God? So that's my question.
I'll start and people can jump in. There's a delightful little story about a little boy who's having nightmares. And he wakes up screaming, and Mom goes into his room and, you know, hugs him and sings to him and tucks him in, goes back out again. Happens again. She leaves the light on, goes back in again. By about the fourth time, she's getting a little short-tempered, and she goes, "Johnny, you know you're not alone. God is here." And he goes, "Yes, Mommy, but sometimes I need God with skin on." I think it's about seeing the love of God through another human being. That's what I think it is.
I, too, agree with her. And I like to say God with a book jacket on, because I love the literature, and I'm a real literature person. And I hear God all the time when I read any of the OA conference-approved literature. And it's true. It's true. I love to go. When I go to meetings, I don't like topic meetings. I like to go to step study or tradition meetings, because topic meetings, for me, they can go off on little tangents and stuff. But I like to read what the written word says. And I remember I had a sponsor once say, they can argue about anything, but they cannot argue with the written word. Now, I have found people to do that, but I do like the literature, because God speaks to me big time through the literature. So I pass.
Yeah, what they said. For me, the higher power or God with skin on is just the universal spirit that we all possess of love. And it's also people who have walked this path before me, who maybe have a stronger connection with their personal higher power or more contact with God between the pages or in the pages. I always hear what I need to hear when I listen. And when I do my daily readings, I hear what I need to hear, especially if I'm willing to put my pen to paper and reflect on it. Thanks.
I'm Kimberly, food addict. I'm always curious what people actually do. So I'd like to hear whether it's the first part of your day or the last part of your day that is the quiet part or the middle. Just what do you do? How do you, you know, do you sit in a chair and look out the window? What books are you working through? Are you writing? Are you sitting quietly? Are you lighting candles? Just that stuff.
I am terrified to share this because I'm sure it's not good enough. But I will share what I do, and I'll just say part of my recovery is I used to get up and the first thing I would do would go for a run, and you know, screw that quiet time stuff. I gotta get my exercise, and so a huge recovery that I now get up, and the first thing that I do is get out my journal and my meditation, my daily meditation books, and that's how I start my day. And my toddler usually wakes up soon after, and so that's a big surrender of just whatever, however much quiet time my higher power has in store for me today. That's okay. You know, it might be usually like I'll sit down with my journal, or sometimes I sit down with my journal, and then he wakes up, and just trusting that's okay, and trusting that whatever, maybe I take a breath to connect with my higher power, and that is enough for today. So, so that really helps me to be flexible. But I usually will write. You know, I write to God, and I just try to use that opportunity to get in touch with whatever might be going on. You know, like what are the fears? What are the insecurities? It's usually fears, and then how, you know, what is God's vision for me? You know, how do I think that I would want my higher power to respond in that situation? And it's pretty free form. Sometimes it's just, you know, blah, 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 you know, and sometimes it's more structured, but it's usually, as I go back to read, it's like, it tends to be the same stuff. Oh yeah. Trust God. Oh yeah. I can relax. Oh yeah. My needs are going to be met. So that just taking that quiet time, and at the end of the day, I send an email to my sponsor, which is, you know, my 10-step and my food. So I'll send my food for the day with any reflections on, you know, a hallmark of my abstinence is honesty. So if there was, you know, any thoughts that were weird, any behaviors that were weird, or, you know, just anything else I want to turn over in terms of my food. And I also send a 10-step, and the format will vary, but I always end with a gratitude, which for me is a way of, you know, like just a list of gratitudes. And it's usually, you know, like 5 to 10 different items. And that's a way for me to balance the sometimes looking at the less savory parts of my character, to balance it with some real good celebrations. So that is part that's kind of like my daily program practices. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, I wish I could say I had some. I really don't, and it's one of those things that I'm aspiring to. I'd love to have a life that I could say I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this. I spend a lot of time putting out fires. And so what I do is I grab quiet time when I can. I do get up in the morning, and most days I hit the pool, and I swim laps, and I'm one of these people that if I start counting laps, I end up counting strokes, and then I don't know how many, you know, that I'm lost. So what I do is I count my laps by reciting the steps, and I do my laps in sets of 12. And so I count that as part of my meditation time, because it's hard to talk when your face is in the water. And so I do that. And I have journals all over the house. And so, well, you know, I will grab that when I can, and when I need to. I love to listen to podcasts. I have found that when I don't make time for God, God makes time for me. When I was in the depth of my spiritual healing journey, 3:47 was the time. And I learned very quickly to get my flashlight and my pen and my journal and start writing. Because if I did that right away, then when I was done, I could roll over and go back to sleep and not miss that sleep. But if I fought it, I was going to lose an hour of fighting, and then I still had to get up and write. And so I learned to do that. Sponsee gave me a journal, which I thought this weekend I would start, and I did. One. So I'm a work in progress. I try to catch. You know, here's my deepest spiritual exercise that I do around 12 step is I look for wow God moments, because because I know that they're all around me and I am blind to them unless I look. And the wow, God moments, you know, it might be a flower or a sunrise or a sunset or the fact that I can walk past that box of stuff and not even, you know, I can walk into Starbucks and get my tea and look in that, you know, that glass place and go, those are to die for. And oh, yeah, those are really good. And not want them. I can recognize those were good, but they're not food for me. I can go to a grocery store now and go, not food, not food. That's food, not food, not food. God, people eat that shit. God. and when I do that, I know that I am consciously connected with my higher power. Because, you know, I ate that stuff. I lived on that stuff. That was what fueled me. And now I have no urges. I have no resentment. I have no desire. I have nothing except to recognize I don't need to eat that stuff anymore, and I'm so grateful. So I guess the two things that I do consistently are look for wow God moments and live in gratitude. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it I cram in where I can. And, you know, maybe one day I won't be doing 687 things and I'll get back to journaling every day. We'll see. Thanks.
I feel like you've heard a lot from me, so I'd like to give these other ladies an opportunity to share if they would like to. And then if I feel moved, I will. And I'm not trying to get out of the question. I'd just like to hear some other people, too. Thanks.
I'm Lori, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Lori.
And get the mic closer to your face. Sorry.
Sorry.
Well, look, come here. Okay. So, oh, I love it. I turned every shade of red, but that's okay. I need to figure out how to make it orange. But anyway, like Freya said, my thought is, oh, it's not good enough. Nobody wants to hear what I do. So throwing that away, every morning my goal is to, before I do anything else, to spend a few minutes reading either For Today or the, I can never remember the name of it. Thank you. Voices of Recovery. And then reading my Bible and praying. And I've been learning how to meditate this last year. I mean, it seems like such a simple thing to do, and yet it's easy not to do it. So for me, that means just being quiet. Sometimes doing a yoga pose and just saying Jesus or the Serenity Prayer or something, but trying to get rid of all the junk that's in my head, you know, oh, you have to do this and this and this, whatever. And I started doing, what do you call it, child's pose, which some of you may or may not know what that is, but it's just a on the floor, anyway, it's on the floor and it's comfortable, and I imagine this scene in the mountains that I've kind of made it up. I'm not sure I've actually seen this, but I imagine it's somewhere. And I just imagine that I'm there, and it's quiet, and I can hear the water running, and it's beautiful. And to me, that really feels like meditation. And another thing that I do is at night, I have committed to writing either 10 minutes or a full page, whichever happens first. And sometimes it's a prayer. Sometimes it's, I am so mad because blah, and I just get it out. Sometimes it's gratitude list. So whatever. And I'm happy to say that since at least January 1st, I think I've only missed 3 days. So that feels really good. And then recently I started Bible study at my church, and the book we're doing is called 1,000 Gifts, and not to promote it, but what I'm getting out of it is gratitude. And she makes herself write down every time she sees something, even if it's like bubbles in the sink, which she had like does a whole chapter on bubbles, but whatever. But just little things that normally I would ignore. And I went, well, I think I can do that. And so I'm not very far in my list, but I'm noticing because I'm doing it that as I'm driving around or whatever, I'm noticing more little things. And it's the whole thing is gratitude as a mindset instead of, you know, that person was mean to me, or I look ugly today, or whatever. You know, it's changing my thinking, and it's working, I think. So, thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me be here.
Thanks, Laurie.
Well, I start out my day usually with a program call with people that program calls actually with people that I'm working the program with, and we help each other. And in other words, I take sponsee calls. But I like to say they're helping my recovery just as much as I hope I'm helping theirs. And many times we'll read out of one of the daily readers, or my favorite thing is page 86 in the big book on awakening. We go through that. And then if I still have some time before I need to get ready for work, I do a 5 or 10 minute meditation. I found a method that really works for me. It's kind of a 5-step meditation, and it doesn't take very long, but it gets me into the zone, so to speak. Then throughout the day, I try to see the best in everybody. I think that's part of how I practice the program, too. Just try to see where that person's coming from and try to not react to how they're treating me or whatever. And also the gratitude thing. I totally get the thing about the bubbles in the sink. Yeah. There's so much out there that I'm aware of now. And I like the idea about writing the 10 minutes at night. I can do that. You know, if Lori can do it, I can do it. So thank you.
Thanks. This is Nancy again.
Nancy again.
I might not believe this. I'm kind of a compulsive person. So I have a tracking system for my daily spiritual work. And I actually just started tracking this a couple weeks ago, and it's been really good for me because I'm okay with not having an X in the box because I've got like 9 things I'm tracking. So it's given me some balance that it's okay if I don't do yoga every day, or it's okay if I missed, writing on for today. But what I aspire to do and what I typically do is I get up in the morning, I make a cup of tea, and I go to my home office, and I read at least for today because I bought last year the question book that goes with that. And respond to that. And there was a point during the year where I made a commitment to read 2 pages a day of the big book and send my thoughts on that to my sponsor. That was awesome. And I put down the for today during that time. And this to me is a sign of recovery that I think I realized about 2 years ago. You know, there's always something new to do in program. But if you're doing something new, it's a good idea to set down something else that doesn't seem as important today. So I do that daily reader. I used to write 3 pages a day every morning. I probably did that for 20 years. And today I don't do that, but I do some form of writing during the day. And typically it's the for today. I have been tracking my meditation because that was something that I would think, oh, yeah, I meditate every day. And then I started tracking it. No, I don't really meditate every day, but but I try to meditate most days. And let me think what else. That's kind of the gist of my morning routine. And if I don't get to that, maybe a day a week or so, I'll go have coffee early with my husband or something, and I don't do those things. So my default backup, say hi to God, is in the shower. If I haven't done it already, I do it in the shower. This was alluded to by other speakers, but I look for evidence of higher power in my life today and to really take notice. And
I have lived in Colorado since 1981, and my husband and I are going to move next summer. So this fall, I have really been enjoying Colorado in the fall, and seeing the Flatirons up in Boulder and the trees and the color, and being here this weekend has been awesome. I started a gratitude practice through an article that someone sent me. I remember the day I got this. It was an article about gratitude practice, and it suggested that you find a friend, maybe someone you don't see as often as you would like, and exchange gratitudes with them. So we happened to be in California for a sabbatical year a couple years ago, and I had about five or six people that I was doing a BCC gratitude list to, not individually, and that was huge. It really brought higher power to my life. It showed me evidence of my higher power, and I did that. I did it daily that year, and then we've been back here in Colorado for a year, and I was more sporadic. It was, you know, some of the people were still doing it back to me, so I'd get theirs and I'd send it back. And but it had become much more sporadic. And recently what I started doing is in my journal in the morning when I write five gratitudes, and I also do my 10th step then from the previous day. I'm just kind of beat at the end of the day, and I haven't been a dedicated end of the day 10th stepper. However, I did buy that journal this weekend, and it's awesome. If anybody wants something, yes.
Region 4. I'm region 4.
It's got a morning page, and it's got a bedtime page. And so it's got gratitudes, and it's got 10th step, and it's got food plan, and I think it's going to be a nice new tool for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Nancy. Thank
you. Thanks, everybody, for your service here this weekend. I really appreciate it. My question is, I get real busy during the day, and I forget to check in. And just wondering what you guys all do to check in with your higher power during the day.
I got to take that right off the bat because I meant to say this. I set up about 3 weeks ago in my phone an alarm app, and it's set to say, it says pause every hour on the hour. And that has really helped me to just take a breath, remember, I am a compulsive eater, and I have a solution, and the solution is the steps in my higher power, and it's just been great. Thanks.
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but when I go to the bathroom, I think it's, you know, there's no distraction. I just kind of take a deep. I see some nods out there. All right. So, you know, I just take those few minutes to relax and just feel the presence. And I also thank my body at that time for functioning correctly. And for getting rid of what I don't need anymore. Thank you.
I don't know. Right now, I don't have an answer, so I'm going to pass.
I have to use this. I can talk loud, so. But anyway, I'm Jan, Grateful Food Addict. And I'll tie it in kind of with my morning meditation, too. The first thing I do is I get on my knees and I ask God to direct my thoughts, my feelings, and actions. And I ask God to help them be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives, and resentment and fear. And that comes off of page 86 in the big book, and 86 to 88. It talks about on awakening and then when you retire at night. And then I have prayers that I say. I ask God for different, like abstinence and things like that, and honesty and stuff like that. And then I say the serenity prayer, third step prayer, seven step prayer, two Catholic prayers. And then I learned a long time ago, I have a prayer list, and I have a list of where I put people, and I pray for my family and my friends and where my husband works. And I have a big prayer list of people, places, and things that I pray for. Some of them who I resent, of course, and a lot of them that I don't. So that's real important for me, is to pray for others. And then when I'm done with that, I read my meditation books, and I text my sponsor what I got out of them. And then when I'm done, I sit quietly and I meditate. And I talked a little bit about that last night. And there's been times before during the day when I'll ask God and say, God, help me remember to talk to you today. Help me to check in with you. But I think it's just kind of second nature for me to do it. It hasn't always been. And I don't remember to do it perfectly. But that's one way, is to ask God in the morning. Or to put stickies around the house, you know, and when I put stickies around the house, that'll remind me to talk to God. And something that Lainey said, when I see food that's not my food, I'll look at it and think, you're not my food. God, please keep me sane and abstinent, and I'll keep walking. And there's just something about saying to that food, you're not my food. Please keep me sane and abstinent. And I have chronic fatigue syndrome, so I do my best work during the day. And at night, I'm really tired. So usually when I get in bed, I'll say, God, thank you for another day of life and recovery. And so that's kind of what works for me. So thanks. Oh, can I say something else? And the reason I'm fairly disciplined with that is because I learned from the consequences of my relapses that part of my complacency in relapse was not doing prayer and meditation. I'm not saying anybody else is going to relapse, but that was part of my relapse, is, oh, I don't have to do my prayer and meditation, or, oh, I feel good. And the reason I would feel good is because I was doing my prayer and meditation. And so that's why it's really important for me to not walk out the house and do something. And even when I'm in a place like this, I still read my meditation books, and I texted my sponsor and told her what I got out of it. So that's why I'm not afraid not to do it, because I have bathroom moments too when I'm in the tub. But just because of my relapses, and I just don't want to die, that's step 11, so I really try to practice it. I'm not perfect, so that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Jen. I'm Lainey, compulsive overeater. I just thought of something I want to share before I actually answer the question, because something that Jan said reminded me. One of the things that I do with my trigger foods is I write them a love letter, and I thank them for their service. Because really and truly, I survived my insane home because of donuts. That's the reality. And so I write them a love letter, and I thank them, and I say, you were there when this happened, June. You were there when that happened. And I remember you were there when, and you had sparkle, and then I say, but now I have a program, and now I have tools, and I don't need your help anymore. So I am sending you to somewhere lovely for vacation, Hawaii or Tahiti or whatever. And so when I go to Starbucks and I see those things that I ate every friggin' time I went to Starbucks, plus took a doggy bag or three home, I say, oh, how's Hawaii? No, don't rush back. I'm doing fine. Because, you know, Big Book says we cease fighting anything and everything or something like that. I'm sure the thumpers can say it more accurately, but that's the gist of it. And so I need to stop fighting my trigger foods too. And the only way I can stop fighting things is to make friends with them. I did the same thing with hunger. When I first started and I was hunger, I'd go, oh, look at you. How efficient you are. You finished all that already? Well, now you can sleep, and I promise I'll feed you again at noon. And so there was no, you know, someone told me in a meeting once, it takes 28 days to starve to death. How many of you have come close? So, anorexic excuse, you know. But the truth of the matter is, even if I miss a meal, I'm not going to starve to death. So I have chosen to make friends with both food and my trigger foods and hunger, but send them on vacation and told them not to worry. So how do I keep track? Sorry, but how do I keep track of God? One of the things I do is every time the phone rings or every time I stop at a stoplight, there's an opportunity to touch base. If I'm really feeling unconnected, disconnected, I put my watch on the wrong hand. It drives me crazy. But every time I look, oh, yeah, hi, God. because, you know, sometimes I have to do that. As I said before, I look for wow God moments. I really work hard to look at the world through eyes of gratitude. There's a delightful little book written in maybe the 15th or 16th century called The Practice of the Presence of God. I'm not trying to tout it, but this is a little monk guy. And I love him to bits because he says, whenever I do something good, I know it's because God helped me and I thank God for it. And whenever I mess up, I say, God, of course I did. He cleaned it up, please. And, you know, I read that thing about 18 times before I realized it said, it didn't say it quite like that, but it said, you know, whenever I mess up, I just tell God I couldn't possibly do otherwise without him, and I need him to clean it up. And I never picked up that it was, I need him to clean it up. Me, the you know, compulsive overeater, codependent child of addicts, heard it as, and now I have to fix it. And now I recognize all I have to say is, God, I screwed up, help. And so many times how I connect with God is help. Help, thank you, I love you. You know, those don't take much more than a breath. And so, you know, part of what used to keep me from connecting, now it's just my busyness, but what used to keep me connecting was thinking I couldn't do it perfectly. And now I realize any breath in the direction of God is enough. And so if I am aware of an orientation towards wanting to be connected with God, it's already there. God moves much faster than I do. All I have to do is wish it, and boom, we've got it. I used to think I had to work hard for that, but I don't. I just need to open my eyes and be aware. So thanks.
I'm Freya. I'll keep it real quick. I think the hardest part for me is when I am just in that driven space and just like watching myself go, go, go and not feeling grounded and not being able to get out of it, or like unwilling to stop and actually do something to try to change. And so just to I've learned that just taking some kind of action, that the first step is recognizing it, which I think other people have shared some good tools for, just recognizing, I am not connected to my higher power right now. And then to act on the willingness. So it could, for me, it's when it feels like I'm you know, this train, when I'm on this train and I can't get off, what little action can I take? So it's something like get on my knees, you know, like the physical posture, say a prayer out loud. Maybe, and it might be like, it might be smile, it might be laugh, it might be, you know, like send a text to my sponsor or a program friend just saying like, I feel crazy, or here's my intention, you know, just some small action really, I don't know if it's a slogan or where it came from, but I have to, you know, I have to act myself into right thinking. I can't think myself into right action. So that I find to be really powerful in kind of giving evidence to my willingness to actually do something different instead of, you know, just, you know, going along in my crazy head. So thanks.
Perfect timing. Let's go ahead and give our panel a big round of a thank you applause.